Watching, wonderful. If you're able to turn on your video, fantastic. If you can't, if you're listening to this on the phone, then if you have a sitter handy, somewhere in the sitter, you should be able to find the piyut of Bar Yochai. I assume it would be Motzoi Shabbos. If you have a sitter, look in the sitter, the Zemirois, Motzoi Shabbos. Usually that's where it is. Okay, in the art school sitter, for some reason, it's not here. I don't know where it is. I can't. It has to be somewhere in the sitter, but I don't know where it is. Maybe Meir will tell us where in the sitter it is soon. But I want to spend some time now going over the simple meaning of Bar Yochai. I don't have any deep interpretation. I just want to go over some of the basic yesodos of Bar Yochai. Today is Lag BaOmer. Today is a day that focuses very, very much on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We have a tradition that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away today. Today was the day of called Yom Hilula, the day when he ascended to heaven. And we always mention the obvious question, why then are we celebrating? We should be fasting. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, Zayin Adar, it's a fast day. Aleph Nisan is a fast day. Yud Nisan is a fast day. That's when Miriam died. Chavav Nisan is when Yehoshua died. It's a fast day, some hold. And as well, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Av is when Moshe, when Aaron died. These are days that in Shulchan Aruch and Chazal are days of tainus, not days of celebration. So why would we want to celebrate on the day when a Tana, a holy Tana, dies? What is going on? So the basic answer is, simple answer is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he instructed his Talmidim that they should celebrate. Moshe did not give any instructions as to what should be done when he died. Moshe died. So when a person dies, it's our duty to mourn, to fast. When a person dies, that's what we do, we mourn. But when Rashbi died, this is repeated over and over in many of the Sfarim that I've come across, he gave a command, he gave instructions. It was his last will and testament that people should celebrate the day of death, his day of death. So we have a principle, Kvoidoi shel Adam, Ritzoinoi shel Adam, Zehu Kvoidoi. The will of a person, that is his true honor. If Rashbi wants us to celebrate, that is the honor that we give Rashbi. A regular person doesn't give us the command to celebrate, so we mourn. Now, the truth is, no person today can say, oh, I want to be like Rashbi. I want to tell my family, I want to give my instructions, my last will and testament is that when I die, I want on my yard site, there should be a big party. No one can do that. No one today has the power, is allowed to do that, because no one is on a level. When a person will reach the exalted level of spirituality as Rashbi, then if you give if your last will and testament is that people should celebrate on your day of death, okay, we'll do it. Then we'll listen. But no one today has the power, the right, to go make such decisions, to tell people what to do on the anniversary of their day of death. Rashbi was different. Rashbi, the Gemara, you learn a few blot Gemara, you get an appreciation of who Rashbi was. Rashbi was no simple person. Rashbi is all over Shas. I mean, and his Mamori Chazal, probably the most famous Mamori Chazal, are all from Rashbi. So every daf is another sugya of Rabbi Shimon, beautiful Maimori Chazal, Rashi and Chumash. You don't even realize Rashi and Chumash, many of the Maimori Chazal that Rashi cites in Chumash to explain Pshat in the Pasuk. Where do they come from? Who's the one who taught this? Rashbi! I mean, I was learning yesterday, it says, Leah, she called Yehuda, Hapam Oide Es Hashem. Rashi says there was no one that gave Hoidah to Hashem until Rachel. Who's the one that says that Maimer Chazal? The first one to give thanks to Hashem was, not Rachel, it was Leah. Rabbi Shimon is the Baal HaMemra. So he was different. Okay, he was different. Rashbi gave a tzava that people should celebrate, and therefore, Ritzoinoi Shel Adam Zehu Kevaydai. Similar answer. This is really the answer I gave in the past. We gave in the past is that there's a very fundamental difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rashbi. Moshe Rabbeinu died prematurely. Moshe Rabbeinu's goal was to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, he was denied entry. And because he was denied entry, it's a very great tsar for Moshe Rabbeinu that he died before realizing his dream. So Moshe had tsar. If Moshe has tsar, we have tsar. Rashbi was very happy. He couldn't wait to go. Rashbi couldn't wait another minute to go. He wanted to go to Shemayim. He wanted to be reunited with the Shekhinah. He was chalashing to go to Shemayim. What could he do? He's here on this world. It was, he fully achieved his mission. It was a joy for him. And therefore, if he has simcha, we have simcha. Now, it's very interesting when you talk about the people who died in this last tekufa, from Corona, many of them died in a state of unusual tsar. They were all alone. They were taken away from their families all alone. How many people were like this? The ambulance came. It got to a point that they could, their health could not be managed at home, and it was necessary to take them to a hospital. And the paramedics and the professionals said to the family, "You're not going. You're not going nowhere. We're taking him, and you're going to stay home. And if you're lucky, the people in the hospital will call you once in a while and tell you what's doing." I mean, that's a horrific thing. It's horrific for the family, but it's also very painful for the patient. The patients were taken, many of them were taken conscious, in a state of consciousness. And later they became unconscious. They died in a very deep state of pain. So when we mourn their death, if we take a lesson from Rashbi versus Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashbi was happy to die. He died with a big smile on his face. So if you're happy, we're happy. Moshe Rabbeinu died with a big frown on his face. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to see the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to continue his mission to the end. And he was unable to do so. Moshe had tsar. If Moshe has tsar at the time of his patira, we have tsar at the time of his patira. And we remember this tsar every year by fasting. And the same is true for basically every living creature. Do you know anyone who finished his days, who lived out his life to the point where he's satisfied, where he can say, "Yes, I've achieved all of my goals and desires"? No such thing. Everyone who leaves this world in a state of pain that they haven't accomplished even a fraction of what they felt, what they feel they could have achieved, realizing what this world has to offer. And they left this world without having that experience of achieving their goals. Rashbi was one in a billion, one in a trillion. A person that can leave this world and can say, "I've accomplished the goal. I've achieved my mission." It's quite a person, Rashbi. For a person to leave this world happy, "I've achieved my mission here in this world. I have revealed all of the secrets of the Torah." Not just the secrets, he revealed all of the basic parts of the Torah. The whole Torah is the whole Torah we have, the Dvarim Pshutim, the Nigla, the revealed portion of the Torah is all Rashbi. And on top of that, he also revealed all the secrets of the Torah. So he was a very happy man when he died. If you're happy, we're happy. Okay, that's the fundamental difference. Now let's right away begin the Piyut. Bar Yochai. Nim shachta ashrecha shemen sasa mecha veirecha. First thing about this piyut is that we don't even refer to Rabbi Shimon by his first name. We refer to him by his father's name, the son of Yochai. This speaks volumes, not volumes, this speaks libraries. Why do I say that? The truth is that Lag BaOmer, you know what the essence of Lag BaOmer is? It's not even so much Rashbi. It is a day devoted to the principle of Chinuch Habanim. There must be some, you know, a day in America that they devote for children. We have a Mother's Day, a Father's Day. We have, I don't know, every Mishigas there is. There's a day for everything. In Yadus also, every Yom Tov, it represents different principles. Lag BaOmer is a day when we are forced to come to terms with the obligation that parents, Rebbeim, and adults have to raise a new generation. The obligation that is upon the adults, to the responsibility, the heavy responsibility and weight that is upon the adults to produce and raise responsibly a new generation of children who are Yireim Ushleimim in Torah and Yerushalayim, Ahavas HaTorah, and it's quite a challenge. The techniques that worked a year ago don't work today. All the rules of chinuch you can throw out the window when you're dealing with children that are in quarantine for 8 weeks. Every rule in the book, every rule of chinuch habanim, parenting, that you can find in a Judaica store, you can take all those books off the shelf and throw them out the window. They don't work when you're sitting with your children in quarantine or your grandchildren for 8 weeks in front of a device that an electronic device or a telephone, Zoom, whatever they're using. It's a different world. It's a different ballgame. The rules are very different. And parents have to adapt literally overnight to a new set of rules. And even in good times, let's say there was no corona, the rules of Chinuch Habanim in the year 2020 are not the same rules in 2019. And v'chulu v'chulu. It's an incredible responsibility and obligation. This is really what happens on Lag BaOmer. Children, they get haircuts in order to produce the Peos HaRosh. They get tzitzis, talis katan, put them on a yarmulke. Yarmulke represents Yerushalayim. The tzitzis also represent Yerushalayim. Re'isimoy, so zechartim is kol mitzvois Hashem. To remember all of the mitzvahs is to look at the tzitzis. If you got tcheles dem liyam, dem dem liyukiyah, liyukiyah dem liyukiyah kavod. I mean, there's a lot going on when you give a child a talis katan, tzitzis. There's a lot to be said about tzitzis. It's shakol keneged kol haTorah kula, the mitzvah of tzitzis. The peyos haroish also represent very mystical things. Okay, there's a lot going on after now. There's a lot of interesting things about peyos haroish, how it relates to chinuch habanim. And all that goes along with it. And Rashbi, why Rashbi? Why Rashbi more than anyone else? Rashbi was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva. That was taught on this day. In other words, after the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, Rabbi Akiva took together five new students, among them was Rabbi Shimbar Yochai, and began to teach him all over again. Rashbi has a lot to do with Chinuch Habanim. There are many Mamari Chazal. Not for now. I don't want to focus on that. But the first thing that stands front and center is that on this day that we focus on Rashbi, we don't even mention him by name. We mention Rashbi as a product of a home. Rashbi was bar yochai. He didn't grow in a field like a weed. Just, oh, look at that. Parents had a child. Mazel tov. They sent out an email. There was a text. The Shalom Zocha. There was a, and then, yeah, he's one of 20 children. And just, you know, let the yeshiva come pick him up. Pick him up and teach him something. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You can tell immediately a person if they're a product of a home. They're a product of chinuch. I told you the story, and it really, it's like the litmus test. I told you the story a few times that when I daven Ma'ariv, in the shul that I daven Ma'ariv, they have, in the middle of the shul, they have a big, massive chair, a recliner chair, not a recliner chair, like a nice leather office chair, you know, that bends back, tall chair, fancy chair, and a shtender. And that chair is not the rabbi's chair. The rabbi has a very simple chair and a very simple shtender. And this is a massive chair. What's it doing there? Because during the day, in the morning, in this shul, there's a kollel. And the Rosh kollel is giant. He's like 6'3", and he's very large, he's massive, and he's not a youngster, and he doesn't fit into a regular chair. He just doesn't fit into it, and he just basically needs this chair for his health because of his, you know, he's not a youngster, he's not all that well, it's hard, very hard for him to get around. So someone went and they brought in this chair with the permission of the rabbi. And the rabbi, they have a very good relationship. The rabbi loves him, and they have a lot of, and that's his chair. And it's not the rabbi's chair. And it comes nighttime, it comes Ma'ariv. And children come to Ma'ariv. And sometimes the children come to Ma'ariv, there are children, they see the chair, and the Yetzer Hara is so strong, they sit down in the chair. They like to sit down in the chair for Ma'ariv. And there are other children that would not even fathom they're going to sit down in that chair. They wouldn't even fathom. You don't sit in that chair. What's the difference between the children that sit in the chair, children that do not sit in the chair? What's the difference? The difference is the children that do not sit in the chair come from a home. They come from a home of discipline, of chinuch, where the parents teach the children, you don't sit in Tati's chair. You don't sit there. This is Tati's chair. This is Mommy's chair. There's derech eretz. There's discipline. There's reward and punishment. They come in, disciplined, serious. They daven, they don't talk, and they go home. And then there are kids that just float in. They float in, they make noise, and they start making jokes. They're pranksters. Oh, and they see the chair, they sit down in the chair. Unfortunately, I know some of their parents, and I know their parents don't even know what the word chinuch means. It's very sad. They're just not interested. They're not home. They're not with the program. They have children. Yeah, they have children. You have a child, and the child grows up like a weed in the field. No one comes to nurture it, to prune it. And when you have something like that, the child walks into shul. So first he makes a joke and he throws a spitball and he does this, does that, and he sees the chair and he sits down in the chair and he rolls around and makes noise. That's because there's no chinuch. A person, you can tell who a person is. When you see a person, you see their how they behave. It's not always true, because there are some very good, refined people that were not raised by parents, Rahman Litzlan, and they turned out to be awesome. And there are people that have the best parents in the world, the best in the world, and unfortunately things don't work out. So it's not an ironclad rule, 100%. I am not saying that. It's not an ironclad, but ruba de ruba, the majority is, whether the majority is 51% or the majority is 90%, I don't know. I really don't know. But ruba de ruba, if parents are mechanech their children with a responsible mahalech, the children turn out different. verse, the children that just grow in the wild. Lag BaOmer is the day of Rashbi. And in the piyot, the one piyot that is sung a billion times, all they do the whole day is just sing the refrain, nothing more than that. It doesn't even mention his name. It mentions his father. He is the son of Yochai. Rashbi is a product of a home. Rashbi was a product of a father who raised him. Chazal say Yochai was extraordinary. We don't even begin to fathom who Yochai was. But he was, obviously, he did something right if he had a child called Rabbi Shimon. The holy Tana, the Tana Elokoi, the holy Tana, Rabbi Shimon, he is a product of a home. Bar Yochai, that's the ultimate Musur of Lag BaOmer. The Musur of Lag BaOmer is Chinuch Habanim, to recruit, to initiate a new generation, to inaugurate Nimshachta, a new generation of children into the service. And that comes with an enormous pay of sacrifice, effort to properly mechanech a child. And the ultimate success story of Chinuch is Rabbi Shimon. And all of his success goes back to Bar, he is the son of Yochai. Okay, next you said, Nim Shachta, you have been anointed. What does that mean? They took oil and they smeared it on his face? I don't know, maybe they did. I don't know what that means, Nim Shachta, but the Shudashol Mikra, everything about this period is symbolic. It's symbolic. So Nimshachta means you have been elevated. A king is anointed with Shemen HaMishra, the special anointing oil. A Kohen Gadol is anointed with Shemen HaMishra. The Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash is anointed. So when we want to go and give something prominence, we want to say that something is special. You are great, Nimshachta. You have been selected, Nimshachta. You have been selected for greatness. Shemen Sosain. And the oil that we're going to use to anoint you is oil of joy. Oil of joy. And then we come to a very difficult word. Ne-cha-ve-recha. This word is a very powerful word, and it's a shocking word to hear on Lag BaOmer. Because on Lag BaOmer, what happened? The 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva perished. Why do they perish? I mean, in Lag BaOmer, they stopped dying. Why do they stop? Why do they die? So today we always mention that today we do not know the reason for anything. We don't even know the reason for what we know the reason for. We know nothing today. But those days, they had a very great advantage, is that when something bad happened, when there was a crisis in society, they had an incredible advantage that's beyond belief, is that they knew why it happened. They knew why. If there was a tragedy, if 24,000 people died, they knew why. Could you imagine such a thing today? No one today knows nothing. Nothing. And they knew. Because Shaloi Mehagu Kovoid Ze Loze. One person did not know how to respect another person. We're dealing with friends. We're not describing here Kibud Avoim. We're not describing here respect for your children. We're not describing over here respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not describing respect for the Malachi Hashareis. We'll learn the Pete over here. You have to respect the Malachi Hashareis. No. We're talking about friends. One chavrusa for the other chavrusa. Two people. So it says to the Bar Yochai, Nimshachta, you have been elevated. You have been elevated. You have been designated for greatness. Ashrecha, fortunate are you. Shemen Sosain, you have been, the simple meaning of Shemen Sasan means that you have been, it goes back on them Shachta. Okay, you have been anointed with joy of, with oil of joy. Now, what is Shemen Sasan? So some would say it's a farisman, it's balsam oil. And the word Sasan is just a code word for a farsaman, okay, whatever, a shemen sasan, special oil of joy. Now, what does the word mechavei recha mean? So, most translations I've seen explain it to mean more so than your friends. You have a class of 25 students. One of them has to be the valedictorian. Who are we going to select? So you, Bar Yochai, you are the one that has been elevated, has been anointed with Shemen Sasain. May, we're going to loosely translate, May means more. More than everyone else in the class. You have been lifted up. You have been given the award of being the valedictorian. You have graduated summa cum laude. More than all of your chaverim. Now, the problem with that translation is it goes smack against the theme of Lag BaOmer. On Lag BaOmer, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva stopped dying because Shloim Hagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh. And if that's the case, we wouldn't want to focus on standing out and being better than your friend. Because when you stand out and you're better than your friend, it connotes jealousy, a lack of respect. I'm better than you. You're lower than me. I'm going to step on you. I'm greater than you. How could you say that? How could you go and have any connotation of being one friend being better than another friend on the day where the Talmid Rabbi Akiva stopped dying and was supposed to learn the lesson of Shaloi Nohagu Kavoid Zelozeh? So this song that we're singing is a contradiction to the whole theme of the day. And the answer has to be that when it says mechaverecha, it doesn't mean more. That's not an accurate translation. It means may through your friends. Shemen Sason, your greatness is only because of your relationship with your friends. Because you are such a good friend. Because you are loyal to your chaverim, you're devoted. The act of loyalty and devotion is what made you great. And this is indeed the lesson of Lag BaOmer. Bar Yochai, Nimshachta, you're very, very special. Ashrecha, fortunate are you. Shemen Sasain, you have been anointed with special oil like none other. You know why? It's because mechaverecha. It's because of your devotion, your loyalty, your behavior, your interaction that has come forth from your friends. In other words, mechaverecha. Yeah, you have to be a little more creative in translating it, but it's still accurate. Your greatness is derived from your friends. Everything that you have is only because of your friends. What do you mean, only because of your friends? Because of your relationship with your friends, because of your devotion to your friends, your loyalty. This is what has developed, has grown, and has made you great. And that's exactly what the lesson of Lag BaOmer is. Shaloi nohagu kavod zeh lozeh. You got it. You learned the message that you should be noy kavod zeh lozeh. And you went out of your way to devote yourself to your chaverim, to be good to your chaver. And there are stories in the Gemara like this. When after the miracle happened, I mean, that's the first thing, when he came out of the cave, he said, Kevon desrachash le'nisa, if Hashem was good to me, and a miracle happened to me, it is my duty to give back to society. What does that come from? Yeah, well, you always hear this today. People always talk, say that it's time to give back. You go to a dinner, they honor a multimillionaire, and they talk about their days when they didn't have what to eat, and Hashem has been good to them. Hashem gave them parnasa, gave them wealth, and now it's time to give back. The first person to say this was Rashbi. Rashbi says, I was in a cave for 13 years. Al derech hateva, I should have been dead long ago. The Roman government, they have resources beyond belief. They should have found me. They should have sniffed me out. They have enough dogs. All the dogs in the world can go follow my trace. They can go find me. They would make a mockery out of me. They would torture me to death. That's what should have happened to Al derech hateva. A miracle of miracles. I survived in a cave without food and anything for 13 years. So now it's time for me to give back to society. And then he goes on, the Gemara talks about what he did, what he went to go give back. He had a sense of obligation, of duty to society. This sense of mussar, of desire to be good to your friends, this is what reciprocated and made you great, elevated you, exalted you, lifted you up to be who you are. Okay, that's the first line. I think in that first line, there are so many lessons that are just beyond belief. Okay, now let's go to the next line. Bar Yochai, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Now we're talking about a different type of oil. The first line spoke about the oil of Shemen Sasai. But you know, there's another oil. There's an oil of holiness. And here we're describing him, we're comparing him, we're saying two very fascinating things. We're talking about the two crowns that the Kohen Gadol wears. He wears the tzitz, which says Kodesh LaHashem, and he wears the tefillin. So here we go. Bar Yochai, Shemen, you have been anointed with oil that's Mishchas Kodesh. Oil that has been anointed with holiness. Okay, it's an expression. Kodesh is holy. Mishchas means anointed. Anointing oil of holy anointing oil. Read it backwards. Holy anointing oil. Nimshachta. You have been anointed. You have been designated. Like the same word in the third word in the beginning of the period. Nimshachta. Mimidas HaKodesh. Through the midas, mimidas, through holiness. Okay, you have been elevated and distinguished through holiness. Nososa tzitz nezer hakodesh. Nososa means to carry upon you the tzitz. The tzitz means an ornament that is a crown of holiness. And what are we referring to? The Kohen Gadol. You're no different than the Kohen. I don't think he was a Kohen. I'm not aware that he was a Kohen Rashbi. But we're saying that you are equal to a certain degree like the Kohen Gadol, that is deserving to wear the crown of the Kohen Gadol, which is called in Torah the Tzitz, that's holy, which has the words Kodesh LaHashem. And now get along now, look what it says now. This is beautiful. Chavush al roishcha, it is also attached upon your head, Pe'erecha, your tefillin. Pe'erecha chavush olecha. Hashem said to Yechezkel, even though you are in a state of mourning over your wife, I still want you to wear tefillin. I don't normally, ordinarily, an Ovel does not wear tefillin on the day of Misa. Hashem says to Yechezkel, you are going to be the exception. Pe'erecha chavush olecha. Your pe'er, your tefillin shall be attached to your body. And here are the key with the code words, chavush al rosh cha pe'ercha, your tefillin are attached. So what does it say over here about Bar Yochai? He wears on his head two things, the tzitz and the tefillin. Now, by the way, the Kohen Gadol also wore both at the same time. There was makom yesh b'rosh l'niach shtei tefillin, and there was space between his mitznefes and the tzitz, a small amount of space where he was able to put the tefillin. The Kohen Gadol wore both the tefillin and the tzitz. Bar Yochai, you have both. You're wearing over here nosasa, you carry upon your head the tzitz Nezer HaKodesh. And in addition, Chavash al Roshcha, it is attached to your head, Pericha, your tefillin. What's the pshat? What is the fundamental difference between the tzitz and the tefillin? The difference is the Shem Hashem. Is it Nigla or is it Nistar? The tzitz has the words embossed, Kodesh LaHashem. Hashem's name is exposed. In the tefillin, Hashem's name appears 40, if I'm not mistaken, 44 times. 22 times. I think it's 22 times Hashem's name appears in the Dalet Parashiyos. But the Dalet Parashiyos are inside the box, inside the tefillin, the batim. And the halacha is, and I'm sure many of you know that, before you put the Parashiyos into the tefillin, you wrap the Parashiyos in a cover of leather. You don't just put the Parashiyos into the batim. You first cover the Parashiyos in a piece of cloth, a separate piece of cloth. And then you put the Parashiyos, which have been covered in one layer, into the batim. The Parashiyos contain Hashem's name. It's doubly hidden. L'kai ma'ashenemar. V'yanoichi haster aster parnai. I conceal myself. The tefillin represent Hashem's name. It's hidden. Even on the, until we have the Shakai, Shakai is the hidden name of Hashem. Sha'omar le'olam odai. I don't want the world to develop to the point where it'll be obvious that I exist. The world, and we always talk about this idea, Dai, Hashem hid himself in this world. The essence of tefillin is Hashem is hiding himself. Nistar. The tzitz represents the ultimate revelation of Hashem. It says, Kodesh LaHashem, on the outside. The Kohen Gadol were both together. Together. He was the dogma that there are tekufos in life where the Eibishter, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is benigle. And there are times in life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is benistar. Bar Yochai, he had different tekufos in his life. At the end of his life, he was megale, all the secrets. It was a time of revelation, Kodesh LaHashem. But for most of his life, he was living a life of nistar. He was hidden away in the cave. He was a fugitive. He was away from his wife for 13 years. He was away from society. He was a fugitive. He didn't have what to eat, what to drink. He didn't have clothing. He had to do very bizarre things. And he took it all in stride. And he developed. Rashbi's life represents the totality of living with the tefillin, to live in with emuna in the nistar, in the Shem Hashem of nistar, and to live in the nigla, in the tzitz nezer hakodesh kodesh lahashem. It's exposed on gold out in front. Now, there's interesting Chazal. You take everything in contrast, everything makes a lot of sense. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to have gold tefillin. Who would ever think of having gold tefillin? What's this all about? What about silver tefillin? How come the Gemara doesn't say, you're not allowed to have batim made out of silver? You're not allowed to have batim made out of marble? You're not allowed to have batim made out of, some type of plastic? What's this thing? You can't have tefillin made out of gold. The gold tefillin the Gemara is referring to is to contrast the tefillin to the tzitz, nezer hakodesh, which was gold. To point out the contrast between the tzitz and the tefillin. The tzitz is gold. Your tefillin are black. The leather, the most mundane, simple material in this world that will decay one day. It's not going to last forever. Leather will ultimately disappear. It's not like stone. Give it time. I don't know what scientists say how long leather lasts. Ultimately, it can't go on forever, leather. Bar Yochai, the second line over here, it's a very beautiful line. Bar Yochai, it's the first one. Bar Yochai, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. You've been anointed with the oil of Mishchas Kodesh. Nimshachta, you have been elevated. Mimidas HaKodesh, from the Midah, from Midas HaKodesh is a little bit hard to... Okay, from the, I don't really know what Midas HaKodesh means. This is a Kabbalistic thing here. Okay, Midas, from the Midah, the measures of holiness. You've been elevated, you've been designated through holy activity. Nasasa, but the last part is very straightforward. Nasasa, you carry upon yourself the tzitz, the ornament that is the Nezer HaKodesh, the crown of holiness, that's referring to the Kohen Gadol's tzitzitz. Chavush, it is attached, al roshcha pe'erecha, the tefillin. The two of them go side by side. Next line. Bar Yochai, Moshav Toiv, Yoshavta. Now, by the way, I want to point out, okay, we're going to talk about Bar Yochai, Moshav Toiv. Now, this next line, what it does is it equates Rashbi with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to learn Hashem's words, Hodieni no estarkecha. Hodieni no estarkecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do? Hashem said, I want you to go benikvas hatsur. I want you to conceal yourself in the cleft of a rock. And you stay there. I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, you'll be able to see me from behind. And you'll get a taste of my covet. When Rashbi entered the cave for 13 years, it was equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu going into the Nikvas Hatzur. At Kidei Kach, let some say that the cave that Rashbi entered was indeed the same Nikvas Hatzur that Moshe Rabbeinu entered, which means he went to Saudi Arabia. Could that possibly be? I don't know, but that's what someone want to say. Bar Yochai, Moshav Toiv Yoshavta. Who is Toiv? One of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu is Toiv. Tuvia. Moshe was called Toiv. Vayar ki Toiv hu. They saw that Moshe was Toiv. Nismale habayis oira. Bar Yochai, you went for 13 years and you dwelled. You dwelled in the cave of the Toiv. Yoim, on that day, Nasta, when you fled, you said nasty things about the government. Whatever the government does, they do for their own benefit. They build bridges to collect taxes. They build streets in order so there can be zoinos. They do this. All the things that appear in society to be for the benefit of society, really, it's all for their own pleasure. It's not for the benefit of society. You said some really, really nasty things. And because of that, you got yourself into a lot of trouble and you had to flee. You fled, Yoim Nasta, the day that you fled, Yoim Asher Barachta, is poetic repetition, the day that you fled, the day that you are Barachta, those words for simply mean exactly the same thing, Bim Oras Surim Shamadata, in the cave of the rock, this refers to the Nikvas Hatsur, the cleft of the rock, in the cave of the rock that you stood, Sham there, Konisa, you acquired, Hoitcha, Vaha Dorecha, your beauty and your splendor, which means your chokhmah, your wisdom, your Torah knowledge is what the pasuk refers to. There are many midrashim, we don't have time now. Over here, I have a sefer which tries to elaborate what this can mean, hoid and hodar, but in a very simple understanding is that there, when you were in the cave, you made something out of yourself. When you went into quarantine, now when the quarantine first started, we spoke about this. We tried to find different people in Tanakh, in Chazal, who went to quarantine. One of them was Rashbi. Rashbi was in quarantine for 13 years. And what did he do there? He didn't waste his time. He didn't fiddle his thumbs. He didn't go and just go surf the web the whole day of nonsense and read WhatsApp chats and all these crazy mishigasim. He knew he had to make the most out of his time. there in quarantine, Sham, there in quarantine, Konisa, you took advantage of the situation. You acquired Hoitcha, your splendor, Vahadarecha, two expressions, which means your beauty, your accomplishments in life can all be traced back to how you spent your time in quarantine. Next line. Bayuchoi, Atse Shitim Oimdim. This refers to the Mishkan, Chazal Darshin. Oimdim Lo'ad Uli Olmei Oilamim. The Atse Shitim that was used to make the Mishkan is forever. The Mishkan is in Geniza. It's put away in hiding, and when Mashiach will come, it will be restored. Bar Yochai, you also, you are forever. Your legacy goes on forever, no different than the Mishkan upon which it says, it's Atse Shitim Oimdim. We're coming to compare Bar Yochai. We're comparing his legacy to the only thing that we have in Chumash that it says is forever. The only thing that it says in the Pasuk is forever is the Atse Shitim of the Mishkan. Atse Shitim Oimdim, standing. Chazal Darshin Oimdim Lo'ad Uli Olmei Oilamim. The Mishkan stands forever. Bar Yochai, your legacy is also forever. Limude Hashem Heim Loimdim. That's a very beautiful expression. This refers to your students. V'chol Bonayich Limude Hashem. All of your children are called by the term Limude Hashem. People who study Hashem, students of Hashem. Limude Hashem Heim Loimdim. The Limude Hashem, your students, the Limude Hashem, Heim, they, Loimdim, they study. The students of Hashem, okay, this is a poetic repetition. I don't really know how to translate it well. I'm not going to fool you and make believe I know anything. Over here it says, Limude Hashem Talmidcha, your students, I'm reading over here from the parish, Heim Loimdim, they learn Torah, Shem Loimdim, Gam Kim Kayam Li'olam. It doesn't really translate it well. I'm very unsatisfied with this translation here. The Limude Hashem are your students. They learn Torah. Heim Loimdim. Okay, basically means they learn Torah. Your students are Loimdim. They continuously continue to study. Now it says some spooky stuff. Or Mufla, the light, the wondrous light, the Or HaYikoid. And we repeat, what the light of burning. It's a light that burns intensely. Heim Yoitim. Your students, they burn with this light. Okay, so it's an expression. So again, we start again. The Limudei Hashem, Heim Loimdim. The students of Hashem are continuously studying the words of Torah. Or Mufla, the light, the wondrous light, which is the Or HaYikoid, which is equivalent to the burning light. Heim Yoikdin, your students are burning the midnight oil. They're toiling away in studying the Torah because of you. And then the end of this expression is absolutely remarkably elegant and beautiful. Halay Heima Yoirucha Mayrecha.
Excuse me.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Loimdim is an active participle. They are learning. Limude Hashem is the object. Of that participle. They are learning the learnings, literally, the learnings of Hashem.
So the students are continuously engaged in the study of Torah.
Right, right.
Right, that's what I meant, right.
Is
the subject matter. Is the subject matter.
Object.
Right. The Limudei Hashem is the object. Is the object. Noun. Is the noun. The students of Torah, Heim Loimdim, they don't just put it away in the library, you got a degree, I'm done with that. No. A student of Hashem continues, B'loshen Hoyveh, to study the words of Torah continuously forever. And then the expression continues. The Or Mufleh, What is Torah? We're now defining what is Torah. Torah is the wondrous light. And we describe it again. It's also called the Or HaYikoyit, a burning light. It is this light which the Limudei Hashem Haim, they going back on the Limudei Hashem, Yoikdim, they're burning away, which is an expression to mean they are toiling and they are studying. And then this stanza concludes with exquisite, eloquent, beautiful words. Halayhema, Rashbi, your students are your teachers. Mikol, what did it say in Perkei Avos? Mikol, mitalmidai, I forgot the whole Mishnah, but the last words of the Mishnah are, mitalmidai, yoiser mikulam. I learn, you can learn from your rebbeim. Mikol adam, say it again, say the whole nusach.
Iskalti,
but mitalmidai, yoiser mikulam. You can learn from your rebbeim, you can learn from your friends, but from your students, umitalmidai yoiser mikulam. And that's exactly what it says here. Here, this stanza is paying tribute to the students of Rashbi. The Chol Bonayich Limudei Hashem, the Limudei Hashem, who continuously study Torah. They study, they burn away, at meaning they learn the Or Mufla, the Or HaYikoyit, and it is they who are your teachers, Rashbi. Haloi Hema, is it not they who are Yoirucha, your instructors, and Moirecha, and your teacher, and your teacher. Beautiful expression. Next, Bar Yochai, the listate, this is more mystical, the listate tapuchim, you have entered into Gan Eden. The state tapuchim is the field of apples. The field of apples you all know from the Zemirois on Shabbos. It's a code word for Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, they have apples. A tapuach. It's not really so clear what a tapuach is. We abuse this word. We abuse it terribly. It needs therapy, what we've done to the word tapuach. Who says tapuach means an apple? It means whatever it means. Some exotic fruit that is found in Gan Eden. It's called the Stei Tapuchim. Alisa, you have entered Lilkoit Bo Mer Chokim to collect in Gan Eden delicacies. Soid Torah Kitzitzim Ufrochim. The secrets of Torah are like beautiful flowers and petals. Nase Odom Nema Bavarech. You cannot possibly give a human being in this world a greater compliment than these words. These words that we've just read is the ultimate compliment you can give a human being in this world beyond belief. To say to someone that when Ribbono Shel Olam said, Nase Odom, let us make man, he was referring to you. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that. Okay? Moisha onav mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adama. But to say this, Nase Odom, nema b'avurecha, that when Hashem said Nase Odom, it was said about you. So here we describe Rashbi as going into Gan Eden to retrieve delicacies. What are the delicacies? The secrets of Torah. They are the delicacies. They are like flowers and petals. And Rashbi, there's no one like you. It's about you that we said Nase. Now let me go put up on the screen the next part. Give me one moment to put up on the screen part B. Photo, file manager, images, camera, picture, select. Okay, here we go. Okay, next part. Okay, next part. There we go down. Bar Yochai. Nezarta Bigvura. You have girded yourself with Gvura, with might. Uvimulchemes Eish Dos Hashara. Hashara can mean many things. Let me just translate here. Let me go back. Give me one moment. Let me go to the translation over here, how they translate it before I say the wrong thing. Okay, in the gate. He likes to translate it, the war of fire in the gate of the Beis Medrash. She'orim mitzuyonim behalacha. V'cherev hoitzesa mitara. You have drawn the sword from its sheath. Shalafta, and you have, I'm sorry, the cherev hoitzesa mitara. Shalafta, you have withdrawn it, same word. Neged Sarecha, your enemies. Who are the enemies? Pashup Shat means Yechavrusas, the Milchamtoi Shel Torah. This beautiful expression is describing what we call the Milchamtoi Shel Torah in the Beis Medrash, when Talmidei Chachamim engage in debate, Talmudic halachic debate. If you walk into a Beis Medrash where they're engaging in debate, you think there's a war going on. In the library, quiet, shh, quiet. Don't make any noise. There are no libraries anymore anyway. Libraries are a thing of the past. Everything is online now. But in the Friedrich Doris, you know, before you were born, there used to be something called the library. I remember going to the library on the Lower East Side. I used to go all the time to the library. We used to go to the library. Do they exist anymore, these libraries? Before you were born, we had a library. It was a lot of fun. Today, it's all online. But in the Beis Medrash, it's not quiet. This war going on in Beis Medrash. This expression beautifully compares the Talmidei Chachamim as if they're girded bigvura with weapons, and there's a melchama of fire, esh dos. Dos means the law of fire, hasha'ara, in the gates of Torah, in the gates of the Batei Midrashim. And each Talmud Chacham, he takes out a sword from its sheath. Shalafta, another expression, to withdraw the sword opposite your enemies. It doesn't mean an enemy, chas v'shalom, a real enemy. It means your opponent, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlakish, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, all the famous Bali Machlaikis. Okay, next piece. L'mukim avnei shayish, next avnei, l'mukim avnei. Now this is really way out. I don't know what this means. This is really spooky stuff. This describes heaven. He goes all the way, before he went to Gan Eden, we have Beis Medrash, and now we're describing that he goes to Shemayim. When he goes to sleep, like Rav Yosef Cairo, the Magid Meshorim, every night the Malach would teach him things. So here also, he would go up, L'mukoyim, to the place, Avnei Shayish Higata. You entered to the heavens. Hashem's Kisei HaKavod is compared to marble, different colors. We have that Yecheskel in the Ma'ariv of Yecheskel. It tells us what the Kisei HaKavod looks like. I don't know these things. This is way over my head. But these are different code words to describe the heavenly abode, the Pamalia Sholmaila, stones of marble, Higato, you have reached. Ufnei Aryei Layish, you've come to see the face of the lions. This refers to various angels. Gamgulas Koseres. Now this is, in the Beis HaMikdash, there are two Amudim. Yochin Uboyas. And upon this, when you come into the Azara, there were two massive pillars. And on top of the pillars, we once learned about this, there's something called Yochin Uboyas. And on top there was something called a Koseres, a capital. And this was divided into two parts. And the bottom part was called the Gulas Koseres. Okay, these are mystical things which I really have no clue. These are code words to refer to different chambers in Shemayim where they teach Torah, where the Malachim exist, where things are happening. There's activity going on over there. There's the place of the Avnei Shayish. There's a place in Shemayim called where the Aryeh and the Layish hang out. In Shemayim, there's a place called the Gulas Koseres. This Gulas means a bowl. The bowl of the capital. The capital was a beautiful ornament on top of a pillar, and it was divided into two parts. The lower part is called the bowl, the Gulas, the bowl of the Koseres. It's a code word for a place in Shemayim where there are things that are happening there, and I have no idea what goes on there because no one ever came back to tell us what's going on over there. Okay, then it goes on to say, now in this is very important, this part. This part talks about the halacha that there's a minhag today to go out with a bow and arrow. Okay? Bow and arrow. Why a bow and arrow? Many, many reasons. But one of the reasons, because in the days of Rashbi, there was never a rainbow. A rainbow is not a good sign. It means Hashem wants to destroy the world. He's angry, but because of the bris, Zecher HaBris, He's not going to destroy the world. In the days of Rashbi, there was never a rainbow. Hashem never got angry. As long as Rashi was alive, Hashem had so much pleasure from this world. There was no need. Hashem never got angry. So there was no need for a rainbow. So that's what in this part over here is referring to. It's beautiful. Al-Ayish, Al-Ayish, upon Ayish, Toshuri, do you look? Now, the word Toshuri means you look, or I rather translate it to mean over here is you are a wall. Now, what does that mean, you are a wall? When Hashem made the Mabul, Hashem took two stars from the Mazel called Kima. He removed two stars from Kima and a flood resulted. If you want to learn the Pshat, he altered the magnetic, the gravitational rotation of the world by changing, moving around some of the constellations. Caused there to be a shift in the gravitational rotation of the earth around the sun, and that brought about Chorban. When Hashem wanted to end the Mabul, it says in the Gemara, Hashem took two stars from the Mazel called Ayish and replaced it. So the stars of Kuma never came back, and they were replaced with Ayish. Now, if those Ayish doesn't fit in the hole because they don't belong there, what belongs there? Kuma. Where did Kuma go? I don't know. Stars of Kuma were taken away. Will they come back one day? I don't know. In the meantime, there's a substitute. And the substitute is never as good as the original. Ayish is the substitute for Kuma. And because Ayish is not the real deal, it's only a substitute, it's dangling. It's in danger. It can just slip out at any moment. And if Ayish slips out, guess what? The world will be destroyed all over again. The way Hashem destroyed the world was by taking out two stars from Kuma. As long as that there's a vacancy, there's a void, the world is in the process of destruction. So Hashem temporarily stopped the destruction by putting in there two substitutes, Ayish. But someone has to hold them up. Someone has to bang Ayish into place and bolt them in tightly to make sure that Ayish doesn't fall out, because Ayish really doesn't fit. It's not an authentic part. It's not an authentic replacement part. It's like you go into your toolkit, no, what can we do today? We got a problem. We need to go fix the pipe. You know, I don't really have the right size, but you know, we'll figure it out. When a plumber does that, you know you're in a lot of trouble. So that's exactly what Hashem did. Hashem was like, well, he took out of his toolkit an Ayish, which doesn't belong there, and it's very in danger. The word Toshuri means you're a wall. You, Rashbi, are the wall that is holding Ayish in place to make sure it doesn't fall out. Because if it falls out, the world is going to be destroyed. Umi Yeshurecha. And then the Pid ends off with a very beautiful expression, which would mean, who can look at you? The word Yeshurecha is Alei Shur. Alei Shur means to look, or who is fit. It's not so similar what it means here. I believe it just now. Who can gaze, a poetic expression. Who could look at you? You're so holy, Rashbi. Who could look at you? And we're using that expression just to play on the words with the word Toshu. So we'll quickly over here. Lemkoyim Avnei Shayish, to the place in Shemaim which Avnei Shayish Higato you have reached. Ufnei Aryeh, Lemkoyim Avnei Shayish Higato Ufnei Aryeh Laish. You have reached and also to the place of the Aryeh Laish. That also you have reached. The word Higato goes back on both. It goes back on the Avnei Shayish, to the place of Avnei Shayish, and it goes on the Aryeh and Laish. Gam Gulas Koseres, you've also come to the location of the Gulas Koseres. Now I'm taking out the period. They put a period here. There are different ways. The periods don't mean anything. The editor put the period over here is, but put it together. Al Ayish Toshuri, you are the wall holding up the Ayish, that the world should not be destroyed. Umi Yeshurecha, and who can look at you? Who can be your wall? I don't know that would be a very deep interpretation that what that means, but b'mi yishrach means who can look at you, you're holy. Okay, running out of time very quickly. Next, b'kodesh hakodashim kav yor b'kodesh hakodashim b'kodesh hakodashim. Okay, you have to basically add some words here. Is that you've entered? You have to add the word enter. You've entered into the kodesh hakodashim. Kav yoroik, and you have spread a line that is green. Now this is a Gemara which we don't have, which a Gemara talks about. There's a Gemara that talks about a kav yoroik, and this is an amazing expression because it allows us to understand the kina tesvav about Titus Harasha, where it says that he etched out a kav odoim. There's something called a kav yoroik and a kav odoim. A kav yoroik means, basically for our purpose, nature. Nature. Hashem made in this world science, rules of nature, mother nature. The Gemara says the line that is green is a metaphor for nature. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there are no rules of nature. The Aron was Eina Min Hamida. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was a Mokoyim that is the extreme opposite of the Kav Yoroik. And just like in the beginning of this Pizman, when we spoke about Rashbi, we said that Rashbi Mitzad Echad wore tefillin, and also wore the Nezer Kodesh. He wore the Galui, the Tzitz Nezer HaKodesh, and the Tefillin, the Nigle, and the Nister. Rashbi, you've mastered two different worlds. The world of the Kodesh HaKodashim, which is not subject to the rules of this world. There's no such thing as measurement in the Kodesh HaKodashim. There's no such thing as time. There's no such thing as life. There's not the Kodesh HaKodashim is a makom that's a mufka from the world of reality as we know it. The Kav Yoroik is the term the Gemara uses to define a line of green in this world, nature. Rashbi, you got it all. You've mastered the mystical and you've mastered the sciences. The Chadesh Chodashim, you're the master of time. Okay? Master of time. Mechadesh, you renew months. I'm not really sure the depth of that means. Maybe the Kodesh HaKadosh Mekav Yorok represents Mokoyim. Mokoyim is place. The Kodesh HaKadosh is the Mokoyim of Lamal and Derchateva. The Kav Yorok is this world, it's the Mokoyim of nature. Now we talk about Zman. Mechadesh Chodoshim. You renew months. Sheva Shabbosais, Soit Chamishim, mystical time, 7 times 7, the secret of 50. Then we go and we talk about tefillin once again. Kosharta Kishrei Shin Kishorecha. You've tied upon yourself the knot of the letter Shin. That's a code word for the tefillin, Kishorecha. Now, there are three parts. There's Oilam, Nefesh, Neshama. Oilam is Kodesh HaKadoshim and Kav Yoroik. Zman Oilam, Shana is Mechadesh Chodoshim, Sheva Shabbosai Soit Chamishim. That is Zman. And the Tfilin is Neshama. You are tied to Hashem. Your Neshama is unique. See, we're doing over here, in the world of Kabbalah, there are three different elements. Not four elements, three elements. There's Oilam, Nefesh, Neshama. Oilam means physical location. Nefesh means the soul. Shana means the Zman. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, you're combining all three together. He's going into the holiest part of the world, holiest location, on the holiest time of the year, and the Kohen Gadol is the holiest Neshama in Klal Yisrael. Bar Yochai has all three here coming together in this section. Number one, there's the Kodesh HaKodashim and the Kav Yoreik, which represents the Olam, is Mokoim, spanning mystical to nature. Time, Mechadesh Chodashim, I'm assuming that means time that we can relate to. Time, when you make a new month, when you today is 29 days, which means that we're calculating the moon. This is nature, time in nature. And then there is mystical time. Sheva Shabbosai Soit Chamishim, mystical time. And then when we talk about Neshama, Kosharto, Kishrei Shin Kisharecha, your Neshama is tied to Hashem. The Shin represents Shakai, Sheomar Le'olamoi Dai. Your Neshama is also unique, that's tied to Hashem. Out of time, we'll finish it very quickly. Okay, it's very late. What time is over here? It's so, let me just remember very, very quickly. Okay, okay, you know, it's not really fair to you. It's late. So you know what? Maybe we'll finish it tomorrow. Ishruchak lag ba'omer. Maybe we'll do tomorrow an ishruchak lag ba'omer. All right, we'll stop over here, but I think we got rid of the gist. This is heavy-duty stuff. I see Meir is so excited about this. He took out his tefillin. You're putting on his tefillin now, Meir. You see, Meir, you guys say yeshiva, you got to be very careful what you say in the shir. Meir puts on his tefillin. Soon he's going to put on the tzitz. And then he's going to declare himself to be Mashiach. Meir, you hear me? You hear what I said? Are you guys listening? Okay. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day. All the best to all of you.
Thank you. You know, Rabbi Levine.
Rabbi Levine, have a nice day. Rabbi Levine.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
It's Mark.
Yes.
I wanted to show you my outfit.
You're walking on the street with a mask. Your mask costs 70 cents.
Rabbi, your cousin last night pointed out that when Reb Shimon's son-in-law